Now let's look at the recovery of a city. Shanghai had a legendary nightlife until the communist takeover in 1949. Now China's brand of capitalism has allowed a comeback. Shanghai has more than 2,000 bars, as well as music and dance clubs. Two American scholars have written a book about the city's nightlife, and they took NPR's Frank Langfitt out on the town.
This evening, we'll be hitting several spots downtown, all within a few miles of each other. One of my guides is James Farrer. He's a sociologist at Sophia University in Tokyo and co-author of Shanghai Nightscapes, which covers a century's worth of the city's history after dark.
Right now we're in the Jay-Z Club, which is really the epicenter of jazz in Shanghai. And it's a place where you have different acts every night, and everybody who does jazz comes to the Jay-Z Club.
We're joined by Andrew Feel. He's a historian who works at nearby Duke Kunshan University, and he researched the book with Farrer over two decades. Field says jazz is an integral part of Shanghai's identity.
Jazz really became the soundtrack of the modern city, not just in Shanghai, but worldwide in the 20s and 30s. And it was the musical language of the city. It was about speed. It was about.
Field says joints like this signify a return to Shanghai's cosmopolitan past.
You will see Chinese musicians playing with Western musicians or African musicians.
My name is Ren Yuqing. I'm a jazz music promoter.
In earlier days, Ren says, it wasn't as easy to find places to play music like this.
We all play around in some like bar or restaurants, but the problem is just like, you cannot play what you want. You know, if you play a lobby lounge in a hotel five star, the manager will be coming, you guys too loud.
Friends introduced him to jazz, and 11 years ago, he opened Jay-Z.
What kind of crowds do you get here?
I think it's an international crowd. And also, right now, here is more young people.
Like this group of female musicians who play traditional Chinese music.
Jazz music, we all like.
Why, I ask? Jixing, she says. Improvisation, something Chinese music and society is generally not known for. We walk around the corner to our next stop, a high-end cocktail bar. Field says during colonial days, bars here were raucous and filled with foreign sailors.
There were bars certainly in the 30s and 40s. Infamous bar streets like Blood Alley and the Trenches.
By Mao's time, they disappeared. Today, they're more civilized bars like El Cocktail, which is laid out like a big living room, where mixed drinks run about $12.
You don't come to a bar like El Cocktail to conduct an ostentatious display of your wealth. It's more about your sophistication.
The clientele are no longer brawling foreign sailors, but Chinese professionals. And Farrer notes, many are female.
And this is something that if we go back 30 years is unimaginable. The notion that a young Chinese woman would then be able to create an identity as a drinker and feel really good about this. So the meaning of alcohol has completely changed. So the idea of alcohol, you know, just 30 years ago was something foreign and therefore decadent. And if you went there, you were sort of a bad woman.
What's undeniably decadent is the final stop on our tour, one of Shanghai's most famous dance clubs, Mist. Field peels off, he's got an early morning tomorrow. And Farrer and I stroll through the club, which is mostly sofas and tables, covered with expensive champagne. The clientele here is very different from El Cocktail. Back outside, Farrer explains.
Almost the entire dance floor now is covered by table seating. So in the places where people would have danced and mingled and really got to know each other, really it's all privatized space. So just like the rest of Shanghai, which has become a city where everybody wants to own their real estate, now the young people really want to own the real estate of the club.
We bump into a Nigerian student named TJ. He's a promoter, and the club pays him to bring in customers. TJ says rich Chinese come here and spend at least $500 for a table, and then a whole lot more for drinks.
They buy like 30 bottles of champagne, and they only get to drink two. They just want to show off.
Whoa, so what happens to that champagne? Do you just take it back and sell it again?
The clubs take it back. It's the club's profit.
Farrer says this is a turnaround from the early days of clubbing in Shanghai. Back in the 90s, there was room to dance and for people from different walks of life to mingle. Here, they just mostly sit in groups, stare at their cell phones, and try to make others envy them.
What you see is something that's kind of depressing. You see people really not communicating with each other. You see dance clubs where quite frankly, almost no one is dancing. Because it's all about you controlling your space and showing off your money to a very limited number of people.
Farrer says it's a sign of how stratified China's richest city has become. It's now after 1 a.m. and time to say goodbye.
Yeah,
thank you very
fun,
much.
Frank.
This was fun.
Very entertaining.
As I hop a taxi to head home, I think about how the city's nightlife has exploded in the past two decades, creating opportunities for people to come together, but also, as in the case of our last stop, to stand apart. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.